following is a Furnish Brothers production.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Talkin' Buds Podcast.
It is the Talkin' Buds Podcast.
It's the Talkin' Buds Podcast, folks.
Talkin' Buds Podcast. Season 2, Talkin' Buds Podcast. Let's go.
All he's got to do is get in the weight room, and oh, baby, he'll be a good pro in no time.
Good pro.
Stinks. Absolutely stinks.
Stanley Cup? How about let's just win a round?
What a dummy. You just know that Babs was looking to see if there was any gas left in the tank of that good pro.
This is the Talking Buds Podcast. And now, here's your host, Rob and Ryan.
I was starving, I mean, to my belly full. From up north, wicked cold, you need a heavy coat. Scared to end up on a shirt before a centerfold. Devil on my back, target on me, deadly tone. Play for keeps, don't tweet. It's not peace, don't speak. 24, no sleep. This is real, no tweet. My bros for life, can't break this link. Family on my...
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Talkin' Buds Podcast. Ryan, this is a milestone episode for us, buddy. Do you know why that is?
Is it a big 4-0?
This is our 40th episode of Talkin' Buds. 40 episodes.
A nice round number. I love it.
Yeah.
I love
nice
it.
Nice round number indeed, buddy.
Oh, yeah. 40 episodes. Let's get this thing on the road.
And I wish that I could start it off by saying episode number 40, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a positive one. I'm afraid after having just watched the Maple Leafs lose 5-4 to the New York Islanders, I don't know if this is going to be the most positive of episodes that we've ever done.
Yeah, that is sometimes the problem when you start recording immediately after watching a hockey game like that. Like, we're going to have to bring it down to a more chill level, because right now, as we speak, I am hot about watching that hockey game and what happened in that hockey game.
So let's wait a few minutes before we get into that then, and let's just go over the week that was since we last spoke. Last Saturday night, the Maple Leafs lost in a shootout 3-2 to the Philadelphia Flyers. Ryan, the most notable thing out of this game, and more than notable, actually, massive news, is Mitch Marner left the game. Ugly looking fall on his ankle. And it was revealed on Sunday that he will miss a minimum of 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Your thoughts on the Marner injury?
Yeah, just one of those plays. Doesn't look that bad. Kind of harmless. But when you see a guy just immediately drop with a kind of an awkward movement, usually that's when you kind of think to yourself, that could have been really bad if he's dropping after no contact, and just it looked like something really went wrong when he went down.
Following night, the Leafs are in Chicago and just decide that they didn't want to play in the first period.
Oh, buddy. Oh my God. You want to talk about one of the worst first periods of hockey you will ever see in your entire life? Go back, watch that first period of that hockey game. Holy, they were just horrendous.
It was
horrendous.
Ugly. It was ugly, but they battled back. They battled back, made a game out of it.
Yeah, they got 57 shots.
57 shots.
57 shots.
Yeah.
But
still ended up losing 5-4 to the Blackhawks.
Yeah, it's going to segue into this game, but you can make the comebacks you want, have as many shots as you want, but you have a first period like that, yikes, hard to come back from.
Before we get into the reviewing this Islander game, Ryan, I understand that you have something you'd like to say about a certain player's performance over the weekend.
Yes, everybody, stop what you are doing at once. Listen to my voice. As much as this pains me to say, I thought that number 88, William Nylander was the best player for the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, now in 40, it took you 40 episodes to say that.
Yes. And it hurts. And that's before we got into tonight. Tonight kind of might have just, I didn't love him tonight, but I will admit I'm not going to just stand my ground and be one of these American media stand by my take no matter what happens. I will admit when I am wrong, and I will say that William Nylander against the Flyers on Saturday, against the Blackhawks on Sunday, was the best player for the Maple Leafs offensively and created the most opportunities in those two hockey games, as much as it pains me to say it.
Going into this one tonight, Ryan, the Islanders have won 11 of 12, one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League. The crowd tonight was not, I don't think they'll ever top their performance from last February, the first time Tavares was back in Long Island.
That was brutal.
I don't think they'll ever top that, but this crowd tonight was still pretty lively. They had the "We don't need you" chant going as soon as the puck dropped in the first period. Tonight was Zach Hyman's first game back. Ryan, what did you think of his performance?
I thought he was Zach Hyman light. Like, guy forechecked hard, still skated hard. On the broadcast, they mentioned a couple times how great he looked. I thought that was kind of overextending. I didn't think he looked that great. It's tough coming back from an injury like that, and you can train all you want, practice all you want. Until you get into the game, it's not going to be the same thing. You're going to be exhausted. So I didn't really have the highest expectations for him tonight. So I thought he was okay.
Leafs looked all right to start this game, traded chances with the Islanders for the better part of the first period. Just over 5 minutes to go in the first, Andreas Janssen with a no-look behind-the-back drop pass that ends up on the stick of Matt Barzal, who makes a nice little move to get away from William Nylander, puts it right on the stick of Eberle, past Freddie Anderson, 1-0 New York Islanders.
Yeah, Nylander could have had that puck. Like, he could have had a chance to bat it away. He did for a second, but then he just kind of quit, and the guy just went right by him. I think Muzzin and Riley were stuck out there for that shift, and once that turnover happened in the neutral zone with Janssen, which I don't know what the hell he was doing. What are you doing? You're not no-look backhand. Like, ooh, great.
No-look backhand just outside your own blue line.
Yeah, like what are you doing, man? Yeah, like, terrible. And then Muzzin and Riley are stuck out there. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm almost 100% sure it was Muzzin and Riley stuck out there. And then Nylander doesn't win that battle. And then they're just kind of out of position. They leave a guy wide open. Like, it's like, great. They played well for the first 10 minutes. And then that happens. And you're like, oh, man, this year it's just a first period barrage against them. And they just have to constantly play from behind.
Crowd starts chanting, Barzy's better after that goal.
Yeah, like, whatever. Like, they're fans. They're gonna do. I'm kind of over the whole chanting. They should be over it by now. They've done pretty well without him. Should be over it.
The Islanders completely take over after scoring that goal, Ryan, dominating the Leafs. This results in Dermott taking a tripping penalty, and on the ensuing penalty kill, Beauvillier scores, 2-0 Islanders, and we're just sitting at home watching this going, oh, boy.
Yeah, and that's...
Here we go again.
That's 26 goals allowed in the first period this season total, which leads the league. And it's like, you can't... It's not a recipe for success to be constantly fighting from behind and battling from behind. Like, you gotta... They played okay for about 12 minutes of this period, but when it really gets away from them, Rob, it really gets away from them. And it's like they're down 2-0.
And you're repeatedly, like, dude.
What are we doing? Like, here we go again. I want to watch a game repeatedly. Where they're going to be in it. They're going to be dominating. They're gonna take it to them. They're going to show us something. But instead, it's like, oh, they're down 2-0. Great. I don't even know if they can come back from this.
Ryan, we haven't seen them do that once all year.
Like, it's so frustrating this season, man. Like, it's crazy.
Oh. Can you tell me how many combined shots Matthews and Nylander had in the first period?
Zero.
Yeah.
They were nowhere in the first period.
Yeah.
Nowhere. No one was anywhere.
No, Matthews in particular, man. We'll talk more about him when we wrap this up. But Austin Matthews was horrendous tonight. Like he was invisible. No, he was like. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to say horrendous because that would require me to notice him. He was an absolute non-factor tonight.
Yeah, nowhere. Nowhere. No. Nowhere.
43 seconds into the second period, Kapanen tips in a point shot from Dermott, which was initially tipped by John Tavares, so he gets an assist on it, and that is Johnny T's 100th point as a Maple Leaf.
Nice. And what I liked about this goal, it was kind of a fluky goal, Kapanen in the right position. About time a bounce kind of went their way, but I'm just happy that Johnny T got that goal, that line got that goal with Marner being out. It's so important that Johnny produces on that line with other wingers and earns his $11 million a year that he's getting paid and bring up the people who's playing around him. So just seeing that goal produce a goal, no matter how it went in, I felt good about that. And it was early in the period, so it still gave them a chance to get back into it.
And this is why this game was so weird. The Leafs completely took over after this. Like, dominated. It was like a 15-minute stretch where they absolutely dominated the Islanders. Yes.
Yeah, dominated them. For 15 minutes. I don't think the Islanders had a shot.
Willie Nylander has a nice little give-and-go goal, with Andreas Janssen. Makes it 2-2. I have beauty goal written here. The Islanders go 11-plus minutes without registering a shot on goal.
Yeah, and back to what I said earlier in the episode with Willie Nylander. Was tonight his best game? No. Is he the best forechecker in the world? Hell no. But if you're going to play like he does and be a skilled hockey player, the only way you could be forgiven for your play and for people getting on you is if you produce. So if he continues to get a point each game and produce and bring something, then that will make up for the other areas of his game that he absolutely sucks at. So I was happy to see him get that because that will keep people like me off his back if at the end of the year he goes, well, I had a point a game this year, so what do you guys say? You know, like,
when I watch these games, I rapidly take notes. So I find when we do these reviews, I go back and I see things that I've written that I forgot that I wrote. And right here I have written in my notes, the Islanders finish every check.
Oh, yeah. Just riling up that crowd.
Yeah. And like just and they play with guys. A sense of like, yeah. And they play with a sense of like passion and emotion. And they just like they just want to win. You get the vibe off that team.
Yeah. And another thing I'll add about that Matthews line with Nylander, even though Nylander's playing a little bit better, is like that goal tonight, again, is created off a turnover from the Islanders in the neutral zone, or a kind of point pass turnover in the O zone for the Islanders. So with that line is right now capitalizing on those turnovers in the O zone and D zone. But again, like that line is not giving me much in the way of offensive zone time and cycling the puck and wearing defensive pairings down and lines down. They're just capitalizing on turnovers. They're not.
They've always been that way.
Dominating.
They attack through the neutral zone with speed, come flying over the opposing blue line, and get one, maybe two shots on net, and it's back the other way. They've always been that way.
But I have a hard time accepting it now. Like, it's they can't. They've always been that way, but now it's just like what we've seen so far this year is it's not good enough. And they're all talented hockey players. They're not idiots. They're not Freddy the Goats out there. They're all guys with
Shore.
Yeah, they're guys with all the talent in the world and strong dudes and big dudes, guys who work out and train in the off season and are men.
It's just, Ryan, I get the like, and I want to get into this later, but like I get the vibe when I watch them. Like, they haven't figured any of that out. Like, this is a team that is just totally lost.
No, it's just
doesn't know what its identity is, doesn't know what it's good at. They're damn sure not good at, their identity is not good at special teams, I can tell you that.
Their
right
special
now.
Teams is below the bottom. It's at the bottom half of the league, power play and penalty kill.
Yep.
It's horrible. Like, that's not a recipe for success. Like, it's just Whatever. Just let's hear about the rest of this catastrophe of a hockey game.
2:45 left in the second. Tyson Barrie inexplicably blows the zone early for no apparent reason. Bovilia gets a chance in front of the net and sneaks one through Freddie Anderson's five hole. Second shot on net at this point in the period for the Islanders, and it goes in. Like, Freddie's got to have that. And I have written here, Ryan, Leafs in a nutshell. It's like the team stinks, Freddie's standing on his head. The team's dominating. Freddie lets in a weak goal. It's the Leafs in a nutshell.
Yeah, and hold on a second, though. Like, Muzzin and Barrie on that play in particular. Barry's already blowing the zone, and Muzzin has the puck, and he's about to make what is supposed to be his outlet pass to his winger on the boards and gives the puck away, and everyone's going forward, and everyone's ahead of the play, and there's two
Tyson
Islanders
halfway
right
to
behind
the red
everyone.
Line. If Tyson Barrie was halfway to the red line.
I know it's like went through his five hole. You could have had that, but like the guy is the Islander was out in front of the net. He was kind of faking the pass across the crease, and then he just kind of quickly shot it. But like, dude, like you can't have both your defensemen ahead of the play and having two Islanders behind them in for a 2-on-1 against a forward who's playing defense. Like, that's horrible. Like, you can't do that after you tie the game and you have a chance to come back. It's a backbreaker.
Well, what's happening there, Ryan? Is that just like boneheaded hockey players? Is that undisciplined?
I don't know.
Like, what is going on?
Dude, like, how many times tonight did you watch this game, or when you were watching this game, did you think like different things that were wrong with this hockey team? Like,
tons.
Like, you could start with the GM, but Ryan, it's not the players.
It's not exclusive to this hockey game. It's every night.
I know.
It's every night. Ryan, you and I do this show. We watch every game. I sit down to watch these games, and before I do, I go, oh, here we go. Like, it's like, I'm not fired up to watch them. No.
It's nothing like last year, and it wasn't that far away. It wasn't like 2 years ago. It's completely different for some reason.
I'm not fired up to watch. I get stressed out. I'm like, oh boy, we got to get through this game now. It's like, man, oh man.
Yeah, because we want to come on this show and talk about how big of a beauty Matthews is, and Nylander's scoring a bunch of goals, and the third line's contributing, but playing good D, and Muzzin and Barrie aren't blowing the zone and not leaving a 2-on-1 right in front of their own goalie. Like, I want to talk about that kind of stuff, and it's like, it's getting annoying coming on here and constantly talking about the problems of this hockey team, and there's just, like, nothing can get done about it. One of their best players just got injured. He's gone. They're worse than they were before. It doesn't seem like they're going to fire their coach anytime. You can't take back those contracts that you signed. Like, this is what we have right now. And it's just like, they're a bubble playoff team. Like, right now, they're a bubble playoff team. Yeah, they played more games than other teams in their division, and there's Florida, there's Montreal, and there's Buffalo right at their necks with two games played less. And it's like, what are we doing here?
They're 9-7-4.
They've lost three games in a row.
Three straight.
And they won three straight, and they basically just flushed that right down the toilet. It's gone. Yeah, you got a point out of Philadelphia. Way to go. That's not the mentality to have. Well, at least we lost in overtime. No. You've lost three games in a row after winning three games in a row, and you just flushed it down the toilet. It's gone. And then you come out tonight, and you suck. They suck. Like, it's so frustrating.
Well, all right. Let's get through the rest of this game. Okay. So second period ends. Leafs up 18-13 in shots, outshot the Islanders 13-4 in that period. The two teams trade chances to start the third. Leafs go on the power play, unsuccessful. While they're on the power play, they spend the first 30 to 45 seconds in their own zone as Casey Cizikas is single-handedly hemming them in their own zone. They just look completely uninspired. Yep. Seconds later, Muzzin takes a cross-checking penalty. Stupid, awful penalty. Derek Brassard scores, 4-2 Islanders. And I have written here, third period is the complete opposite of the second. Islanders dominating. Nylander takes a penalty with 8 minutes left, and the Islanders go on the power play again. Leafs pull the goalie. Cizikas fires it from the Leafs' red line, jumps over Matthew's stick. 5-2 Islanders. See, I'm so flustered now. I'm all flustered trying to read these notes because they're just fired up about the rant we were just going on. Minutes later, Justin Hull catches the Islanders sleeping in their zone, sneaks one past Varlamov on the wraparound. 5-3. 37.5 seconds to go. Johnny T bangs in the rebound in front of the net. Nice to see Johnny T get a goal. 5-4. Too little, too late. Leafs lose. Ryan, let's take a break right now. Let's come back on the other side of the break and deep dive into this. All right? Are you good with that?
All right. Let's take a deep breath. Maybe we'll get through the next segment. I'm not sure, though.
What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for downloading this week's episode of the show. If you like the show and want to support us, give us a follow on Instagram at Talkin' Buds Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. Spread the word. Tell your friends. We really appreciate all your support. Thank you.
Now, let's get back to the Toronto Maple Leaf Podcast for all the buds. This is the Talkin' Buds Podcast.
Okay, Rye, had a little breather. We've calmed down. Got a little fired up there in the middle of that Leafs-Islanders recap. Had to rush through it, recollect ourselves. There's a lot of things to talk about with this disappointing start to the Leafs season. Because that's what it is. It's a total disappointment. But it's time, Ryan. Like, it's time. I don't understand how Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan can sit up there in the press box night after night and watch this and not at least entertain the idea of firing Mike Babcock. This team plays uninspired night after night after night. Like, you watch the way the Islanders play tonight. They play with a sense of urgency. They play with some jump. They play with some fire. They play with, like, passion. They play with, like, and I hate saying that. Like, it's so corny, but it's like, it's true. And you watch this team, and it's like, they just kind of, like, they don't play with any sense of urgency. There's no burning desire to win. The special teams are atrocious. I saw a great tweet tonight that referenced Dwayne Casey and what a fantastic coach Dwayne Casey is. But it's just like that team had just plateaued with him.
And also Dwayne Casey was coach of the year that year as well.
Yes. Yeah. And it was time to move on and try something new. And it's just like I've said since the beginning of since this season started on this show, I've said that I do not see Brendan Shanahan giving Dubas the green light to fire Babcock in season. But Ryan, I don't know how. I honestly don't know how you can watch this team's performance and think that it's going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. They're going to be like scratching and clawing to get a wild card spot at this point.
Yeah, look at the standings. Like, just look at the standings. Like, it isn't 5 games in anymore. They're 20 games in. And they've played more games than other teams, and you look at the point totals for other hockey teams, and they're right up on them. And tonight drove me crazy, or this Islander game drove me nuts, because it's 5-2, Justin Hall scores a goal, he makes it 5-3, John Tavares scores a goal, makes it 5-4, the shots are only like 30-27 favoring the Islanders. So when we look back on this game this season, it's going to be like, oh, they only lost 5-4 to the Islanders, made it a game. But for us Leaf fans who actually sit down and watch this hockey team every single game, and I'm not speaking for everyone. I'm speaking for people who agree with me and say that even though this was a 5-4 hockey game, even though that Chicago game was a 5-4 hockey game, even though they fought to overtime against the Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday night, the way they play shift by shift the giveaways, the non-time spent in the offensive zone, the way they play hockey, the way they fall behind.
The special teams are horrific.
And they can stay in every game. They can score their goals whenever they want to score them. But if you are watching this hockey team and you cannot accept the fact that the way they play is just not good enough to do anything in this hockey, in this NHL, this whole league, like, you're crazy. Like, they don't look good at all, man. Like, they look horrible. They look uninspired. They look like they have no heart.
It's time, we can debate all day long if, like, the way the team is constructed is, like, if that's right or wrong. Like, do they have the right pieces in place to make a run at a cup? We can debate that all day long, but that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the fact that this team looks like garbage night in and night out. There hasn't been one game this year where from bell to bell, they've been good and just dominated a team.
No, and look,
every single game.
If you took a poll of all the general managers in the NHL of what roster you'd rather have to start the season, forgetting everything that's happened this season, and you said, would you rather have the Islanders roster or would you rather have the Maple Leafs roster? I guarantee you at least 75% of those general managers would easily pick the Maple Leaf roster. Easily. And then you watch that game tonight. It was 5-4, but they when they were dominating, they didn't get many great chances. And the Islanders, they only had 31 shots, but they got a million grade A chances. Their power plays were crisp, clean, million passes. Their forecheck was heavy. Their backcheck was good. Their goalie made some key stops. Like, just watch it. It's not good.
Well, this is what I'm saying to you. It's like, I don't understand how Dubas and Shanny can sit up there. And, well, I'm going to take, because you know Dubas is sitting there in his head just waiting for Shanny to turn and give him the green light. But it's like, how can you, Brendan Shanahan, sit up there and watch this and watch your team get consistently outworked night after night after night after night after night? And still think that this coach is going to get it on the rails. Like, to me, it's just like, they're a better team than this.
100%.
Are they?
100%.
Are they a cup contender? Who knows? But they're a better team. They're better than competing for a wild card spot. They should be competing for their division. They're better than this. They better decide what they're going to do quickly, because pretty soon you're going to be in a situation where you're not going to have a chance at winning your division because Boston's going to run away with it.
Rob, this is where all the frustration stems from. It's like, there's no Lee Stempniaks. There's no Peter Hollins. There's no P.A. Parentos here. We have legit talented hockey players who are making huge money. And I know we said we wouldn't bring up the contracts, but it's a factor. It's a factor when you're watching this. Yeah. And that's where it comes from. It's like, we expect so much more. They're so talented. So many GMs would love to have this hockey team and see what they could do with it, what they can mold this hockey team into. And it's just like every game, it seems like it's not getting any better. And the name we haven't mentioned all season is Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned his name. It's been Babcock. It's been Dubas. It's been the players. But now, I know it seems like this, like, they're still okay. Like, they're not the Ottawa Senators. They're not the Detroit Red Wings. They're not the LA Kings. They're not the Wild.
But they're better than this. But they're way better.
But
they're a better team.
And the amount of money they're paying hockey players, that is that's not even in the question. Like, they have to be in a playoff picture. They have to be a top three team in their division and showing the ability to dominate other hockey teams in this league. And it's not that at all. It's not that.
And have respectable special teams.
It's horrible. Yeah, their special teams. It's awful.
23rd in the league on the PK. 17th in the league on the power play.
Bottom teams.
I'm actually shocked to see they're tied for 17th on the power play. I would have thought for sure they'd be in the bottom five of the league. I'm actually shocked to see they're 17th.
Because last year, they they had a really hot start on the power play, and it kind of carried them through the entire season. They ended up with not a bad little ranking. But this year, it's just been, they can't even get in the zone clean. They can't even get into the zone. What are they doing? Like, it's, man, we are just, I am just, there's no positivity in me right now. And maybe people are listening to this being like, you're way overreacting. Like, they're right there. Like, you know what? Sure, they haven't had a great start. But the way I look at this team and my expectations for them are a lot different. Like, they just, I expect way more, and they have not been delivering on those expectations whatsoever.
I'm sure there's a percentage of the fan base that is listening and feels that way, but I feel like the vast majority of people, Ryan, feel the way you and I
feel
that.
I agree.
Yeah, this is just not good enough.
No.
I'm not excited to watch the games. I'm not excited to watch them. Like, I sit down and to watch them, and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Like, and then they start playing well, and you're like, all right, here we go. They're putting a little streak. Like, tonight, dominated the second period. Dominated. Islanders go 11 plus minutes without a shot on goal. And then they just go back the other way. Disaster. Tyson Barrie blows the zone. Muzzin also turns the puck over. Boom, in the net. Freddie Anderson, who is rock solid most of the time, just decides to go nanay on that goal. And oh my God.
Yeah, and after fighting back, it's like 2-2. It's like, okay, they got a 2-2, restart, refresh, brand new game. 0-0, and then they just have to go make a bonehead move like that. It's like, that's not the first time I've seen that. That's not even close to the first time I've seen something like that.
I know.
It's a regular occurrence. Like, it's brutal. Like, it's frustrating. It's making me go to a place of negativity that I don't want to go. And it's like, I'm not even talking about this year's Leaf. Like, today, watching this game, I was so frustrated. I was even going back 40 years to how this team hasn't won anything. Like, I'm so frustrated this season. And what can they do? What can they do?
I'm telling you though, Ryan, like they better, like, this could get ugly in a hurry. Okay. They're 9-7-4. They've lost 3 in a row. They've got a back to back this weekend against the Bruins.
They're great.
And the Penguins.
Yeah, and you'll see the new little backup goaltending against the
Kasmir Kaskasuo.
Oh, yeah. Legend. Yeah. Legend goaltender.
I feel bad for him, man. I'm not going to pick on Kaskasuo. He's guys should be playing with the Marlies, and he's up here because Hutchison couldn't get the job done, which ultimately is on the general manager, who has put the salary cap in a place where they can't go get a backup goalie because they can't afford one.
No.
So and as much as we're sitting here railing on Babcock and saying he needs to get fired, this whole thing is, there's blame to go around.
100%.
Like,
and at least this back-to-back, at least the tougher team is the first night other than the second night. So at least Babcock's logic, his genius logic, his Albert Einstein groundbreaking logic about starting your number one goalie on the first night, no matter what caliber team you're facing, first or second, at least this back-to-back, they are playing the tougher team in the first game, and Freddie will start that game.
Can we talk a little bit about Austin Matthews? The guy was absolutely invisible tonight, and he's getting his cookies, he's getting his goals, but I, like, is Austin Matthews as good as we all thought he was going to be? Or is he just in a place right now where he's inconsistent, still trying to figure it out, and he'll get there eventually?
Well, he's got like 25 points in 20 games. It's pretty damn good. That's not bad. He's in the top 10 in scoring in the league. He's a hell of a goal scorer. He produces. You can give him that. It's just, after that, it's what expectation do you place on Austin Matthews? He's not Connor McDavid. I don't know if anyone on here has caught an Oilers game this year and have seen that guy play this season. That guy is on another planet.
Well, here's the thing. I'm willing to concede that Austin Matthews is an elite goal-scoring offensive talent.
Yes.
Austin Matthews is not a superstar in the sense of a, to your point, a McDavid or a Crosby someone who can take over a game.
Yes, and this is the absolute root of this issue when we were talking about Auston Matthews' performance or expectation. He's an elite goal scorer in this league. He's not a player who's you're going to notice every shift constantly dominating the puck, but he's getting paid like he should be doing that. So that is why our expectations are so high for him, even though he's in the top 10 in scoring. It's like, that's great. That's exactly what you want from your best player. But when he's occupying so much salary cap and he's supposed to mean so much to your team, your expectations just, boom, right through the roof. Right through the roof. And you expect way more out of him. And it's not like it was last year or 2 years ago when he was on his entry level. Now it's like, I expect you to dominate on shifts. Like, cycle the puck. Hit somebody. Forecheck. Get a couple shots on net. Like, tonight.
Don't disappear.
Yeah.
That's my thing. If you're not going to take over a game like the way McDavid does, like 200 feet, whatever, fine. But, like, get your offensive chances. Shoot the puck on the net. Like, be visible.
I know.
Do something.
And there'll be people who fair, like, I don't have a problem with them defending him, saying, well, at least he's produced. He's over a point a game hockey player.
That's fine, but
top
we
goal
need
scorers
him.
In the
this
league.
Team is going to win more and go to the next level. He needs to do more than that.
Agreed. 100%.
He needs to do more than that.
And that is where we stand in this whole thing with players like Auston Matthews and William Nylander and Mitch Marner and John Tavares. They're going to produce. They're going to get their points. They're going to do good things. But it's the added expectations of what you expect them to do above those things that is what gets us so frustrated and what we know they can do if they really, really were put in the right opportunity or if they tried hard enough to do. And we wouldn't be so frustrated. And this team wouldn't be so brutal. It's so crazy at this point that we can like criticize a guy who's over a point a game player to expect him to do a lot better because of the money he's getting paid and what we expect out of him.
And our expectations aren't go out there. As much as it's great for watch him get his points, our expectations are that you get past the first round, get past the second round, get past the third round, and you disappearing for large stretches in games, we're not going to win a playoff series with you doing that. It's not going to happen.
And we might not even make the playoffs this year. We'll
yeah.
be fighting
so
for a wild card spot.
So that's what I would say to people who are listening to us right now and saying, he's still scoring, he's still elite goal scorer. It's like, yes, I know he is. Nobody is arguing that fact. It's just when all you do is score goals and you can't take a game over, you can't dominate possession, you can't push a guy off a puck, you can't set up one of your teammates to score, you can't do any of that. All you can do is bang in rebounds. It's like we're not going to win a playoffs. We're not going to beat the Boston Bruins in the first round with you playing this way. Period. End of discussion.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you what, man.
What about good old optimism, eh? What about that?
Dude, it's exhausting coming on here. Dude, it's exhausting coming on here every week and just like, again, like it's like, are we ever just going to get to come on here and be like, look at these guys. They're on a roll. Like, they're dummying everybody.
Yeah, we got to do some fan questions next week or something. Just a mailbag episode.
Yeah.
We need people to feed us some different content because if I keep watching hockey games like I watched against the New York Islanders, I'm going to constantly come on here and almost be a broken record and constantly be in the negative side of things because I'm just not impressed whatsoever. So
what happens if they get to Christmas and they're either in like a second wild card spot or outside the playoff picture?
I don't know. You said it to me over text earlier. It's you can come up with cases of Mike Babcock, why you should be fired, but you think that Brendan Shanahan will not okay him getting fired halfway through a season. Give him the shot with the full season, see what happens.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think if you fire him in season, regardless, firing him regardless is a hit on Shanny's reputation, because Shanny went to the MLSE board and said, let's make this guy the highest paid coach in the league. He's going to come in here. He's going to turn the ship around. So regardless, firing him is it's a hit on Shanny's reputation. So I think if you wait until the end of the season where they either don't make the playoffs or get eliminated in the first round, because this team ain't winning a seven-game series playing the way they're playing now. It's not happening. It looks a little better, I guess, because then you can say, you know, we brought Mike here. He got 5 years. We've decided to go in a different direction, yada, yada, yada. The only way he gets fired in season is if they go on some sort of catastrophic run where they lose like 7, 8, 9, 10 in a row. That's the only way I see them panicking and pulling the trigger in season.
Yeah, but can you afford to lose a year like this?
No, I don't know if you can, especially the way their salary cap situation is. Like, I don't know if you can. Like, Ryan, we were saying, like, go back and check the tape. We were saying before the season started that, like, this is their cup window. They're never going to have, starting next year, they won't be able to afford to pay Tyson Berry. So they're not going to have the defensive depth, which sounds so hilarious now, 20-odd games into the season.
I know, it's like, to great. Say that. Wow, we were so smart, weren't we?
Yeah, like, don't listen to us.
Whatever happened to great old optimism, eh? What happened to seeing the glass half full? Not here. Not me.
So we
not right now.
We kind of brushed over it at the beginning of the episode, but talk a little bit about the Marner injury.
I was thinking about this injury, and Mitch Marner, if you were to rate him, importance of players on this team, would you rate him above Austin Matthews? I'd say over 50% of people would say no. But as soon as he went down with that injury, and as soon as I saw the way that it was affecting this hockey team, not him not being on the penalty kill, not helping out 5-on-5 on the power play, it started to kind of make me think that, you know what? This guy, Austin Matthews, is the centerman. He's the big goal scorer. Goals mean a lot in this league. But when it comes to just motoring a hockey team and just pushing a hockey team to a place where you can win hockey games and the way he can make plays, I'm starting to believe that Mitch Marner might be the most important player to this roster. Not best player, not most talented player. I mean just overall importance of how he affects a hockey game when he is involved in playing his best. I'm extremely worried now that this guy's gone and how they're going to react to it, how they're going to respond, how that Tavares line's going to do. It has me worried, and me thinking that makes me believe that I believe, without even admitting it, that I think Mitch Marner is the most important hockey player to this hockey team.
Wow.
I know. It's
When he's at his best, there's a lot of people last year who would have said that.
You want to lean Matthews, but the fact of the matter is this guy's led this team in points for two seasons. And even being out this long, he'll still come back and he'll still be up there. Like, he's legit, man. Like, he's a dynamic penalty killer, creates offense, plays on the power play, he makes other players better, makes Johnny better, if you got the chance to play with Hyman again this season, makes Hyman better, creates plays, always back-checking, always backtracking, always forechecking. I don't know. Like, I never admit it before, but after him getting hurt and thinking about everything that he does, I might think he might be the most important player to this team. Which backs up Paul Marner's argument for how much money he's getting paid, pretty much.
Well, he's still overpaid.
Still
they're
way
all
overpaid.
Yeah, they're all, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the last thing I want to talk about right now, Ryan, is contracts.
Oh, yeah. But there's a legit argument that he is the most important player, and I'm beginning to believe that he might be.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. All right, let's do some bums and beauties. Hit the music.
It's time to find out who's a bum and who's a beauty. Take it away, buds.
The 40th edition, Ryan, of Bums and Beauties. You were fired up all evening. So you go first. Bum or beauty, you pick.
All right, I'll get it out of the way early because it kind of makes me a little sick to my stomach. But I'll make William Nylander the beauty of the week.
Oh, it took 40 episodes, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it took 40 episodes.
I just want to show the people that you don't have to be set in your ways. You don't have to be stubborn. You can have an opinion. But when you see a guy you don't like and you constantly criticize, have some success, play well, you can praise them and admit you were wrong for just that week, though. I'm not saying forever. I'm not saying forever. This guy could stink the next week. He could easily be back in the bum category for me. No problem. Easy. Snap of the fingers, back in the bum category. But I will admit that a guy I do not love is my beauty of the week, William Nylander. Congratulations. You're my beauty of the week.
I'd like to give a special beauty of the week shout out to Elliot Friedman for supporting Movember and rocking that gnarly looking mustache. You know, like, good for him.
Yeah. Sure, what his wife thinks about that.
For having the stones to rock. Oh, good for him for having the stones to rock that thing, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure his wife is thrilled with that decision. Oh, pumped.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Attaboy, Elliot. God. Way to do it for the boys, man.
Sweet. Sweet Jesus.
Yeah. A lot of names you could call that thing, man. A lot of names.
I'm going to go with John Tavares as my beauty of the week. You know what, man? Like, I tip my hat to the guy. It's brutal to go into that barn tonight and just get, like, jeered like that by those fans. And, like, he gets the goal at the end. He just stays focused, doesn't let it rattle him. Like, I got to tip my hat to the guy. Like there are times where I do think he looks a little slow and behind the play out there. But honestly, man, like, I feel it's like Freddie. Like, I feel bad saying bad things about Johnny, man. Like, I'm proud. Every time he goes into that barn and takes that verbal assault and he just doesn't bat an eyelash, I'm proud of him. Johnny T is my beauty of the week.
Yep. And it makes you wonder, if you're a Maple Leaf player, why would you not get up for this hockey game when you know that's coming? It's the easiest motivator in the world. But I will move on to my bum of the week. I was gonna maybe go after a bearded individual on the Maple Leafs defense, but
he had a bad game, but there are better candidates.
Yeah, I decided to pass that up, and I just decided to go after the coach because the fourth line, bro. And I'm not a huge guy of always discussing the fourth line, but tonight I had enough. You can throw all the face-off, defensive face-off stats you want to throw at me all you want about Nick Shore, about Freddy the Goat, but when that line is on the ice, man, I have no hope. No hope. They are allergic to offense. They can win all the face-offs they want, but when you're not winning hockey games, when you're not a playoff hockey team, I don't care about your D-zone face-offs, man. Clearly, they're not that important.
But Ryan, you look at the ice time tonight, he's essentially rolling the lines.
Dude, they can't score. They're one of the worst offensive fourth lines I've ever seen in my entire life.
You don't have to tell me that. You got to tell Mr. Good Pro behind the bench.
It makes me, you know what? I don't want to always do this fourth line backup stuff with the Leafs, as I mentioned in the past. Sometimes I think we overplay it. But like tonight, I'm watching the game, and every time they step on the ice, it's like, there's no offense happening here. I'm not creating anything. Yeah, they might win the odd D-zone draw, but then they skate right off the ice. They don't cycle the puck. They don't get scoring opportunities. Yeah. They're terrible. I'm tired of looking at them. So the fourth line and Mike Babcock for playing them as much as he does, or deploying that line the way it is. I'm not saying I'm a Spezza lover. I'm just saying I don't love that line. Anyway,
He's better than I'm sorry.
I'm
like,
sick
Freddy
of Freddy the Goat, man.
Yeah, man. He's
sick of the Goat.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Like, I get he's skating. Yeah, he looks like he's skating fast. He's a big boy. He doesn't really hit that hard. He doesn't forecheck that hard.
He's also a turnover machine.
Offense, man.
Yeah.
I could put the puck in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, he's brutal.
So that's my bum of the week.
My bum of the week is the general manager, Kyle Dubas, because this week we had to send Michael Hutchinson back down to the minors, and we can't go out and acquire an NHL. So we have to call up Kazmir Kaskasuo, who should be in the American Hockey League, who probably isn't ready to come up and be a backup goaltender in the National Hockey League.
Nope.
But we have no other choice because our cap is in such a place that we can't go out and acquire a legit NHL backup goalie. And that is directly on the general manager. We can argue about Babcock's deployment. You and I have argued about it. I don't think Michael Hutchinson was put in any the best situations to succeed this season. During all these back-to-backs and whenever Babcock's puzzling rule where Freddie Anderson must always play the first game. But having said that, realistically, if you look at it from a high level, Michael Hutchinson was never the guy, and he was put in that situation because he was real at the beginning of the season, the only realistic option, and that is on the general manager. So Kyle Dubas, we now have a rookie who's growth as a hockey player may be stunted. I hope I'm wrong, but may be stunted by this promotion to the big club. And that is directly on you and the fact that our salary cap is outrageously tight right now. So Kyle Dubas gets my bum of the week for that. Sorry, Kyle.
Robert, I have nothing else to say. So just take him on home, man.
Well, I actually think you do have a couple things to say, Ryan, because we've got two more games this week. We've touched on them earlier. We've got the Boston Bruins on Friday night. We've got the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday night. And then next week, they go out west for the West Coast road trip.
So let's see what happens, man.
Yep, let's see what happens.
We can sit here. Look forward to a better forecheck, better defensive zone coverage, better special teams. But I don't think we should waste our time. We should just wait and see and come back here next week, Talking Buds podcast, and see where we are at with this hockey team. And I hope our outlook has changed. But as of right now, I highly doubt it. I feel like we are kind of going to follow the same theme all year. So let's just wait and see.
I feel like we say this all the time. We always end episodes on this note, but honestly, man, 40 episodes, like,
yeah, it was epic.
That's crazy.
Epic.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy that we've got to this point. Our numbers have increased dramatically, especially this season. Thank you to all you guys for downloading and for telling your friends to check us out. We really try and bring this to you guys every week and put together a entertaining show. I'm sorry that we've been like on the negative train the last few weeks, but it's just, as Ryan has said, it's like it's hard to keep a positive attitude these days with the way this team is performing. But nevertheless, we will be here every week, good or bad, to discuss this hockey team that even when they make us mad, we still love.
Absolutely. And if you disagree with anything we say, hit us up in the IG comments, DM yeah. us. Let's yeah. have a conversation. We want to bring more fan interaction in the show through our yeah. Instagram.
Absolutely.
And man,
Instagram is the way to contact us. We've decided to make that our
yes.
Social media platform of choice. So if you want to get in touch with us, hit us up on the IG, send us a DM, comment on one of our pictures. We'll give you a shout out on the episode. Give us talking points. If you want to hear us talk about something, lay it on us. We'd be happy to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we won't sewer you either. If you DM us and you just kind of want to stay chilled, anonymous, and just want something for us to talk about the show or maybe bring up an argument against us, we won't sewer you. We'll bring it up. We'll talk about it. We'll give our opinions. But 40 episodes, man, I am stoked. And we got so much more to go.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for downloading. We'll see you next week.
you looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C., as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.